Very good afternoon, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is said that when you fail to plan, you plan to fail. When you live your life without a particular focus, or with a wrong focus, that life will be lived incorrectly. Without a focus, it will be a wasted life. You and I have been saved for service. There is a purpose for God saving you and me, all at different ages of our lives. And God has given to all of us a purpose. And this purpose has to be spiritual in nature, even for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When God sent him onto this earth, it was not without a purpose. God doesn't exist without a purpose. When God created the universe, the world, there was a purpose. When God intended to show his love for us, it was not without a purpose. And therefore, for you and me, we have to know what that purpose is. Because if you do not know that purpose, and then you just simply live day by day, without realizing exactly what is the purpose of your existence, it will be a great waste. A great tragedy. And if your purpose is not according to God's purpose for your life, it will be a wasted life. And so therefore, we are going to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ what is the mark of his ministry. And then you'll find that the mark of Christ's ministry will also be the mark of every believer's ministry. It is a common mark. It is a common significance, purpose. The gift may be different, the way that we exercise our gift is different, but you'll realize that the purpose toward everything that you do and I do as a Christian will focus on the same. The Lord Jesus Christ is indeed God and man when he walked on earth. He had just performed the miracle of healing Simon's mother. Simon's wife's mother, his mother-in-law, by the way, his mother-in-law, who was very sick with a fever. And immediately they told the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord healed her. The Lord continued to heal many that were sick of diverse diseases, cast out many devils, and then he suffered not the devil to speak because they knew him. He did not want to be associated with the demons. So even though they were able to speak the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ would stop them. Because by association, if they speak the truth as if they are promoting Christ, then people may conclude that they and Christ are on the same side. But they are not. Their promotion of Christ is with a deadly and diabolical purpose. They want to deceive the world into hell. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was very, very careful that his sojourn on this earth, especially from the point of his ministry for the next 3.5 years, it will be a very clear message. That is why the purpose or the mark of his ministry must not be without a focus, it must not be blurred, it must not be diminished. He must know exactly what it was. He must not be sidetracked. He must not veer to the left or to the right. He must stay on course. So must we. So the preparation that we must have, just as the Lord Jesus Christ must have, in order that this mark that God had entrusted to him will not deviate. It will be a daily preparation. Because without this preparation, you and I will not last. This mark of our ministry and Christ's ministry must sustain all the days of our lives until the Lord takes us home. The moment you allow it to be deviated, to be sidetracked, then you will take a lot of time and energy and strength to veer us back on the right course. You may call it waywardness, you may call it by many other terms, but it is a wasted life, a wasted testimony, and while we are steered away from this mark, we can also point people in the wrong direction. We call it, the Bible calls it, bad testimony. So what exactly is this daily preparation that the Lord Jesus Christ needed to do in order to stay on course, that the mark of his ministry will not lose its focus, that it will remain true to him in his life and pleasing to his heavenly Father? Verse 35. Now let's see what this daily preparation was. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, so before day breaks, that means before the sun rises, he went out, departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. That was the daily preparation. You and I are told to pray without ceasing. But there is a difference between praying without ceasing, whereby we are daily to be very conscious of the presence of God in our lives. To pray without ceasing means that we are told to be very conscious of our own weakness, our own inability to do anything without God's help, without consulting God first. Now that is the emphasis when the Bible says pray without ceasing. But when the Bible emphasizes not so much as the frequency of prayer, that is to pray nonstop, but to talk about how we begin the day. Look at how Jesus Christ begins his day. Day by day, that's what you and I must do. Day by day, you have to ensure that the mark of your ministry does not lose its focus. Don't say, well, I plan to make sure and maintain the mark of my ministry for the rest of my life. How long the rest of my life is, I do not know. Not the rest of your life. That is too broad, too unrealistic. Not even on a yearly basis, not even a monthly or weekly basis, but on a daily basis. Because when it is on a daily basis, you realize that it is very, very manageable. Make a covenant with God that you will want to maintain this mark of your ministry, just as Christ wanted to do on a daily basis. And before you know it, after 7 days, it's already 1 week where you have lived a life that is pleasing to the Lord, whereby you did not forget what the purpose of your existence was all about. You must not forget this. The Lord Jesus Christ did not. And he demonstrated this to us, that how did he prepare? His daily preparation was to wake up in the morning, rising up a great while before day. Now, why did he do that? Because there were a lot of people following him. He just wanted a time where there was no one else to disturb him. And for him, in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was a great while before the sun rises. Now, let's say the sun rises at 6. Great while means at least an hour before, maybe 5. He wanted to make sure that when he begins his day, he commune with his heavenly Father in prayer. Now, the detail of the prayer, we are not told. Not important. But the Bible did tell us that he did everything deliberately. He went out, separated himself from every human being, and he was all alone when he communed with God. What do you do when you wake up first thing in the morning? Do you have bad habits? First thing you do in the morning is to switch on your handphone and check what mails or what information you have received the night before. Switch on your computer. What do you do? Go to the newspaper? There's nothing wrong with reading the newspaper. But the important thing is it reveals what occupies your mind, isn't it? That when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you did is to find out what is the news in the world today. Now that is the problem. Jesus Christ wanted to begin his day early in the morning with a private conversation with the Lord. A private one-to-one dialogue. Is that impossible for believers? No. It is supposed to be the norm. Not even the exception, only for certain leaders in the church. This should be our normal daily routine. Make it so natural that anything that is disturbed, that is not time that you spend privately with the Lord, when everyone in the world, in your world, is asleep. No phone call will ring, most likely. Don't switch on the computer, don't switch on your phone, just simply open your Bible. Spend time with the Lord. Learn to be still and to quieten yourself and to know that God is God. That whatever is about to happen for the rest of this day, my Heavenly Father is all-powerful. He is sovereign. I do not know what activities are ahead of me for this day. But my Heavenly Father, who is all-knowing, He knows. And He has allowed them into my life for this rest of the day for a purpose. Help me not to sin against Thee, O Lord, throughout this day. Help me not to be caught off guard in the way that I respond to the trials and the difficulties that I may encounter, whether in school or at home or in my place of work. It does not matter the place. It varies for you and me. But the preparation is the same, because you are a child of God, you can. If you're not a child of God, even if you want to, you can't. And so God tells us that in order for you and me not to lose our focus, you have to prepare yourself daily in this manner. And that is to pray. Do not treat this as something that is ritualistic. It must be something that is so natural, so sweet, so intimate, so personal, that you will guard and make sure that no one or anything that must rob you from your time alone with the Lord. Now that's how you began the day. Of course, you can also pray at the end of the day, by all means. But the problem is, if you just only, I didn't say you cannot pray at the end of the day, you should pray at the beginning of the day, throughout the day, and also in the day, privately with the Lord. But if you do not have the beginning of the day in prayer, and then you just simply have your end of the day prayer, you know the problem with that, isn't it? It's obvious. You have just gone through the day without God's help. When you want to spend the end of the day with the Lord, all you can do is to reflect. And most of the time, the sadness is your reflection of what transpired the past few hours from the day you woke up to the time when you now sit before the Lord. It will be a lot of mistakes. It will be a lot of blunder, because you have gone through the day without God's presence to guide you, to help you, to aid you. That's why you must begin the day. That's why the morning hour of prayer is indispensable for you and for me, if you want to be well prepared for what lies ahead of you. Because what lies ahead of you is a spiritual battle on a daily basis, where Satan cannot take away your salvation. Please understand that. When Satan tempts us and Satan persecutes us, it is never to rob you of your salvation. He knows that that is impossible, because we are sealed by the blood of Christ. The relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father can never be vitiated, can never be torn apart. But what He can do is to destroy your testimony and your witness by getting you to fall into sin. And there are certain sins that are so grievous that the consequences could be so life-threatening that you will have to be diminished in your ministry and your service for the Lord because of the gravity of the sins that you have committed. And that's what He wants to do. Don't let Him succeed. You are never wrestling against flesh and blood. As you maintain this mark of your ministry the way Christ did, He prayed. Now if God the Son, fully God and fully man, realized that He needed to pray, you and I aren't even close. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ did it to teach us and to tell us. If I am doing it and you are to be like me, Jesus says, please follow. Would you do so? Beginning from tomorrow morning onwards. Would you do so? Fathers, wake up first thing in the morning, pray for yourself. Pray for your wife. Pray for your children. Wake up first thing in the morning. Pray for wisdom and strength as you go to work. Pray for your children as they go to school. pray for the church, so much to pray for so many people in need of an intercessor. Would you do so day by day? And then when you look at the next Lord's Day, look at your own report card. How did you fare? And don't do it only for 1 week. Do it for the rest of your life from now until the Lord returns or the Lord calls you home. Daily preparation. Secondly, verse 36 to 37. The need. The daily preparation. You look at the crying need. There are so many people who need us to be well prepared so that we will not lose sight of the mark of our ministry that God has entrusted to us. Remember, the moment you are born again, you are already fit for heaven. Please understand this. Last Monday, I was asked to go down to the hospital to baptize someone. So the first thing I did was to maintain or to make sure of his salvation. So I asked him, and he answered correctly from his heart, I believe. And so he was baptized. 2 afternoons ago, yesterday or the day before that, the Lord called him home. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the Lord took him home. He is already fit for heaven the moment he was born again, Monday. But the Lord gave him a few more days. And then the Lord took him home. He was already fit for heaven. When was the last time you accepted Christ? The first time. How many days have passed? For us, it may even be measured in terms of years. You are fit for heaven. So why didn't God take you home? He's not making you more fit for heaven while you remain on this earth. Please understand this. You are here on this earth for one purpose, and that is to be God's witness. And that means your sanctification doctrine is not to make you more fit for heaven. Please don't think that to sanctify you, to make you more holy so that you are more fit for heaven. That is not the purpose of the doctrine of sanctification. I hope that's not your thinking. If that is your thinking, you've got to fix it. You've got to change it. The sanctification that you and I have and need to have on this earth is to make us more holy, that the image of Christ may be seen clearer and brighter by the people around you. That is the purpose. The sanctification process, therefore, is for witness. It's not to make you more fit for heaven. Because if you think that it is to make you more fit for heaven, the implication is disastrous. You're saying that the work of Christ on the cross is not finished yet. When Jesus says it is finished, it means it is finished. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are already instantaneously fit for heaven. That's what happened to the thief on the cross next to Christ. Remember, Jesus said, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." So therefore, sanctification is for the purpose of witnessing holy life. Why? Because you and I are surrounded by a crying need. You look at verse 36 and 37. Simon and they that were with him followed after him. They wanted to hunt him down. That's the meaning of the word followed. It is like a persecutor trying to catch someone to persecute that person. It has that kind of intensity, that kind of idea. This is not just follow in the footstep. That is not what this word means. This word means that they want to search him out. They want to hunt him down. They could not find him. And so you have disciples who are already born again, wanting to find the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the first need. Even disciples, they need you not to forget the mark of your ministry. Because many of them are young disciples. These are young disciples. That's why in the Gospel of John, Jesus said very clearly, "You are not ready. There's so much more that I want to teach you, but you are not ready." And that is during the tail end of Christ's 3.5 years of ministry with them. Here we are talking about the early part of these 3.5 years. And at the end of 3.5 years, Jesus' conclusion, "You are not ready. I have so much more to teach you." There are many disciples who need you. There is a crying need in the church. Young believers. Now when we say young believers, it's nothing to do with age. There are some of us who may be believers for 20 years, but as far as God is concerned, you are only a believer of less than 2 months old. Because you never grow. 20 years have passed and gone. And if you have not grown in maturity, you are not a 20-year-old believer. You are still only a very young believer. Please understand this. In the spiritual realm, the growth in the spiritual maturity is not like just you and me growing old. Or maybe it is. Do you know some people who are old? They are in their 60s and 70s, but emotionally they are still like a child. You know of such people? They react by throwing tantrums. They cannot control their emotions. Or they may grow old physically, but mentally they are immature. You know of such people? I'm sure you must have met these people in your workplace. There are plenty of them around. In the spiritual realm, if you do not take proper steps to grow spiritually, you will remain as an infant in Christ. That's why the writer of Hebrews chastised the recipients of that epistle. When you are supposed to be teachers of God's word, you are still babes drinking milk. You are still arguing and doubting and trying to understand the basic Christian doctrines. They did not grow after many, many years. That's why the author said, we expected you to become teachers after all this while, and yet you are still babes, needing to be taught instead of teaching others. There is this crying need in the church today. How old is this church? 27! Do you feel like you are 27, spiritually speaking? Do you really feel that you are 27? Or only 2.7? Just under 3 years old. 27 is a mature congregation. How mature are you? I look at some of the faces. Some of you are not even 20. Some are not 25. It's not just years passing by and therefore suddenly you become a mature church, a mature congregation. So there is a crying need. That's why you cannot lose sight of the purpose of your ministry. Look at verse 37. Another group. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. So there were others who were also seeking for him, would be the multitude. And these will be those who are unbelievers, all kinds. So you have the disciples, believers, and the unbelievers. They are all looking for the Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ must not be sidetracked. Time and time again, it was easy for him to be sidetracked. Have you ever read in some parts of the Gospels where after a particular miracle, after a particular healing, the Lord Jesus Christ told them, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody, remember? And but then these people didn't listen. They keep on telling people. Do you know why? Because if they keep on telling people that there is a man who can heal all kinds of diseases, what do you think will happen? What do you think will happen? Common sense will tell you, isn't it? Everyone who is sick, everyone who has a sick loved ones, and you and I know everybody has a few or at least one sick loved one. He will be hounded, he will be mobbed by a great multitude of people, and all they wanted from the Lord Jesus Christ, heal me, heal me, heal me, heal me. Remember verse 34? He healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, cast out many devils. And then he said, don't you say anything good about me. Suffer not the devils to speak. Jesus Christ, the mark of his ministry was not to come onto this earth to heal your diseases. That is not the mark of his ministry. His mark of the ministry is not to feed your stomach, your hungry stomach. You can work hard and feed your own stomach. No matter how many diseases he healed, they will still die one day, isn't it? So that is not the mark of his ministry, but that's what the people wanted. And that is why the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be sidetracked. And if he were just to occupy himself by healing, 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 then Jesus Christ will be distracted and he will lose the focus of his ministry, which he must not do. Same for us. Your ministry and my ministry is not carnal. It's not material. It's not three-dimensional. Your duty when the Lord saved you and put you on earth is more than just buying food and put it on the table for your children. It's more than just buying clothes. God doesn't have to save you to do that. You look at the unbelieving world out there. They are not born again. Are they not doing the same? Some of them doing it better than us. They are now multi-millionaires. They are billionaires. Far better than us in providing food and clothing. Big houses. Is that what you are saved and then put on earth to do for your children? Your colleagues. Is that what you are saved to do? To go to work and help this company excel? To turn this company into some kind of a publicly listed company? To turn it from a multi-million to a multi-billion company with your genius, your talent, your ability, whatever it is, whatever the trait might be? They say, you are a surgeon, you are a brain surgeon, you are a heart surgeon. Is that what God has saved you to put you on earth? To fix people with heart problem, to fix people with brain problem? They will all die one day, isn't it? Is it materialistic? Is it carnal in nature? Is that the purpose of Christ's ministry? Just to heal those who are sick, feed those who are hungry? That is why it makes no biblical sense for the charismatic pastors to tell their naive, deceived congregation that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never be hungry, you will never be sick. This is precisely what Jesus Christ wanted to avoid, and here we have these people they want to promote. The direct opposite. How can their gospel be called the gospel of Jesus Christ? It is another gospel that distorts Christ. They have a crying need. For what? You must not forget your daily preparation. Because if you fail, this crying need will remain a need. This crying need must be helped. It must be fulfilled. And God said, I have saved you and I have allowed you to remain on this earth to do this. You must know what it is. So do you know what is the mark of your ministry? What is the mark of Christ's ministry? Verse 38 and verse 39. We see the indispensable mark of Christ's ministry. And it will be yours and mine too. Now you watch. And then he said unto them, right? Everyone seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the word seek there means to seek until you find. Okay, like a hunter. Seek until you find. Let us go into the next towns. Okay, let us go. And do what? Now watch. That is the mark. That I may preach there also, for thereof came I forth. That's why I came. To preach. To tell them the truth. Isn't it? It is the word of God, in other words. To tell them about the Bible. To tell them about Christ. To tell them about God's truth. That's what you and I are here for. The same. Why? Why is it so important for us to tell them about God's truth, God's word? Because in the Bible, they are going to know God. They are going to know Christ. Without the Bible, there is no way anybody can know God, anybody can know Christ. That is why churches that emphasizes experience at the expense of the Bible, they are false churches. You must never replace the word of God. Never. Every ministry that you have must focus on God's word. From the youngest to the oldest, God's word must be paramount. Because that's what Jesus Christ came to do, to preach, to tell them about this truth. Not just to read the word of God, but to expound it, to explain it. In Bible college, we teach the students. In preaching, there will be these four elements. And all four elements have their own functions. And one of these four is the most effective. The four elements are these. Statement. That means you summarize a passage, draw out the main thrust of that passage. Like in this case, the main thrust of the passage is the mark of Christ's ministry. That is the statement. And then you have the restatement. And then you have the illustration. To illustrate a truth. So that the people will remember and understand the truth by your illustration. Illustration is not the basis for the truth. The basis for the truth, the doctrine, is the Bible. And so use an illustration to make it clearer, to help the people to recall and remember. That's an illustration. And then the fourth one, to personalize the message, you have a testimony. Either your own personal testimony or the testimony of someone or someone from the Bible. A personal testimony. These are the four key elements of preaching. And of these four, the most important is the one that I have not explained. Restatement. The restatement is what Ezra did. When he gathered the people after finding God's word, he read to them God's word, and then he explained it, he expounded. Now that is called restatement. Explaining the word of God so that the people will understand the word of God better after you finish. Now you can do this by standing behind a pulpit to preach. You can do it in a classroom by teaching. It's also under this. Or you can do it by writing. But make sure that the focus is the word of God. That at the end of your lesson, your message, the people will know the Bible better. That is the main purpose. That's why of all these four, restatement is the most important, because you expound and explain and make the word of God come alive. And that's what Jesus Christ said. Remember when he went to the synagogue one day, he read from Isaiah, and then he expounded and explained, and he said that I am the one that Isaiah prophesied. He expounded, he explains it. Of course, the people didn't like it, the people reacted, and they wanted to stone him. Now, what they react and how they react is not your responsibility. You can't control their reaction. Some will thank God for your preaching, others will despise it, and they might even want to find fault, they might even want to stop you. That's beside the point. How they react and respond is beyond your control. What is within your control is to make sure that the word of God is properly taught. And the best way to teach it is with your life. Because if you don't obey what you teach, you can forget it. God's word is given for one purpose only, and it is to be obeyed. Please don't think that because you have memorized the Bible, God is happy with you. God is not happy with memorization. After you have memorized, you must understand. Because if you memorize and you don't understand, it's also no use. You may obey it wrongly because you understood it wrongly. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Right? So, I can now play the piano. I don't know how to play, you know. But I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, right? So I go there and play. You want to try and show you? You'll be gibberish. So whose fault? God's fault. God did not strengthen me. You see, that's why I cannot play. Is that what the verse says? See, I memorized the verse, but I understood wrongly, and so I apply it incorrectly. No use. Understand, and then obey. Memorize, understand, obey. Bottom line, you must obey correctly. And so therefore, you can explain the word of God, you can illustrate the word of God, you can personalize the word of God by a testimony, but if you don't obey it yourself, you have lost sight of the mark of your ministry. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, what did he tell us? I'm here to do my Father's will. Even as he preached, even as he did all the miracles, what was his purpose? I'm here to do my Father's will. You are here to do the Father's will. Where do you find the Father's will? For us, it's according to Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. And your purpose is to make the Word of God living by the way that you live. That is the mark of Christ's ministry, and it is yours and mine too. That's why the daily preparation is so important. That's why there are so many people out there with a crying need. Because you and I see so many false witnesses, so many false brand of Christianity. The world truly needs, your world truly needs, people who are true to Jesus Christ according to Holy Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible tells us, when you preach the gospel, it is qualified by the phrase, according to Scriptures, according to Scriptures. Teach how Jesus died according to Scriptures. Teach how Jesus rose from the dead according to Scriptures. Why? According to Scriptures. Because if it is not according to Scriptures, it is another gospel. And there are so many of such another gospels today. the mark of your purpose on this earth is God's word, to tell them the truth about God by your preaching and your teaching, and more so by your life, your living, how you dress, where you go, where you do not go. All these is part and parcel of what preaching is. That's what we tell the students in FEBC. When you stand behind the pulpit to preach, it is not just preparing a sermon on pen and paper. You are preparing your sermon by the way that you live. And whenever you stand behind a pulpit, you are not giving a message, you are giving a part of yourself. Because it is a message that you believe in. It is a passage that you have practiced in your life first, before you tell them that it is good. It is God's word. Practice it too. That's what this mark of Christ's ministry is. It is his life. And then he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. The miracles is basically to authenticate his message. Now, Jesus' message is different from ours. Jesus' message is, I am the bread of life. I say unto you, I am the living water. Your message and my message is similar to the prophets and the apostles. Thus saith the Lord. That is our message. You and I cannot say I, because you and I, we are not. We say, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. So Jesus had to authenticate it by his miracles, that he is indeed God. You and I need to authenticate the ministry. No need to cast out devils, by living a holy life. That's how you authenticate the ministry of the word that you declare, because of the power of the word that has transformed you, whereby you live a holy life, and therefore your message and your life, they are one. Don't let them be contradictory. The crying need is all around you. You look at your world, your children, your friends, your relatives. They may not see they have a need, but you look at their lives. They have a crying need because the Lord is returning soon. Time is not on anybody's side. Your daily preparation is to never forget that your purpose is to tell the world who Jesus Christ is, by the way that you live, by the way that you preach, by the way that you study God's word, by the way that you know God's word and obey it. That is the mark for you, for me, no change. I may be a pastor, but it is still the same mark to tell people about Christ. You may be an engineer, a teacher, a bus driver, taxi driver, doesn't matter. Your aim and your purpose where you are is to tell people about Christ. The same message, isn't it? That's what the world needs today. It has not changed. Why? Because it is only in the Lord Jesus Christ that people can be delivered from death, hell, and sin. There are many believers who are young, who are immature. They need to be taught. They need to become mature. And they cannot become mature without the Word of God being taught to them. And therefore, as leaders, we have to keep on studying so that we can keep on teaching. Keep on studying, keep on teaching. That is what we try to do in Pandan, to the best of our ability, with every ounce of our energy before the Lord comes. Because only in the Word of God can God's people be secured, be protected. That must be the mark of your ministry, preaching, teaching God's Word. For that was the mark of Christ's ministry. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, as we look deep into our own hearts, for you have saved us and allow us to remain on this earth for service. It is not a service according to our own heart's desire, but it is a service according to what you have revealed to us in Holy Scriptures, that all of us are to be your witnesses, so that others, when they see our good works, they will see Christ in us. And to do so, O Lord, we have the dual responsibilities to help others mature and grow in their faith, and also to point others who are unbelievers to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might come to accept him as their Lord and Savior. this crying need, O Lord, is all around us. And we see this great need time and time again. Help us therefore, O Lord, never to forget this important mark that you have given to us to show people about Christ, who he is, by the word of God that you have given to us, by preaching, by teaching, but more so by our lives. Help us to always begin the day with prayer, reminding us of the importance of leaning upon thee to see us through the day victorious, that we will not become a casualty, that we will not stumble and fall into sin, for there are so many around us who need to see Christ in us. Help us, O Lord, and as we come before the Lord's table, may thy Holy Spirit bless us once more. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.